Pearson invited us to come to India and introduced us to another pastor named Carl Silva, who then took us from Mumbai, India to Kathmandu. And I didn't know until this morning, or if I did know, I've forgotten, that Pastor Rajan started his church the same year we started this one, 2002. And so it was about 6 years later, we ran into him. So our churches are paralleling together as far as how long we've been born, birthed, and planted. And it's amazing all the things that God has been able to do with Pastor Rajan there in Kathmandu. It's a key church in a key city, and he is a key man. He and his wife Indu and his family have ministered faithfully there now for many, many years, over 20 years, and they have done a good job in a very difficult place. I was sharing with someone just recently that when we visited in 2008, Nepal was what's called an unreached nation, meaning less than 2% of the population had heard the gospel, not received the gospel, had heard the gospel. And now there's about 4% of the population would profess to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so praise the Lord. Amen. And that in large part is because the gospel is being preached, and Pastor Rajan and his team are key people in getting the gospel where it needs to go on time, and they're doing a good job, and they need our support. So I want to let Pastor Rajan come and share with us this morning. Give him a good HBF welcome as he comes to preach today.
Yes. Good morning. Wow. I'm very happy to be here. You know, this Pastor Van told me the same year we are, you know, just established in Nepal and another parts of the world. Both are different parts. We are together, you know, growing in Christ. This is a main important thing. So you showed that video, and especially I'm talking to that video, you know, just what we are doing. Just so you can, I think, you know, there is our newsletter. This is the what we are doing in Nepal. This is a very important thing for us to do Nepal. And then you can take the outside. You have that newsletter. You can take your home and to pray for us. That's why, you know, just you can see the Greater Grace Church, then Mountain Life Bible College, and what SBF doing, you know, just I see in the outside, in the, there is three things, you know, slogan, what we are saying that, you know, just know, grow, go. Wow, think about that. Know, grow, go. This is the main church need to do in the ministry. You know, just ministry means, you know, just people are saying, establish one organization, I'm sending people like that. No, church need to do that things. I'm very happy to see here. Our main purpose to be here, not other things doing. Earn money, live better life, and die one day, and go to heaven. Only that things. No, think about another things. You know, that's a very important thing for the human life. This is the important, and that's why I'm encouraging you. That's a, you know, so Greater Grace Church, and we train people in the Mountain Life Bible College. We train. That means, you know, 3 years, 4 years, they will come with us. We train them, Word of God, Bible. We teach them the Bible and send them in the remote parts of the Nepal. You know, just Nepal is a very small country. 80 times smaller than U.S. Think about that. You know, maybe half of the majority, half of the land-wise, we are half of the majority. Population-wise, 30 million. And we are 10 times small population than U.S. This is why I'm getting this information to you. But we have to understand, you know, this. But, you know, Nepal is looks like a small country, but you know, people doesn't know about Jesus in the 30 million. Everyone doesn't know. Some people, some place, there is a very remote. There is no cars. There is no any transportation. They never saw outside people. They live there. Think about that. You know, just think about these people. But these people also know about Jesus. Who is Jesus Christ? That's why they know, they must know that. That's why we train people. I was sending them to remote parts of the Nepal to preach the gospel. And then other things, so we are preaching the, we are not being a radio preachers and television preachers. You know, everyone knows me that I don't want to do that things, but everyone, Nepali people need to know Jesus. That's why you preach radio, television. People need to know Jesus. And the government, just, you know, you hear about that. Nepal, there is anti-conversion law. We cannot convert people. If someone find out that, they put in jail. Just I read in one of the record, this last year, 1,000 foreigners, you know, just they depart from our country. 1,000 last year, because they are involving in one of the cause in the preaching the gospel. You know, just right now, you know, they are departed. If any American, yeah, other country people, they goes there, they preach the gospel, they depart. That's why they said, also they are not allowed to be convert, but allowed to me through radio preach the good news. Preach the good news through radio. That's the good news. That's I'm very happy. I government radio, I'm preaching the gospel with Jesus Christ. And that's the good thing. And we have also in the Hope Orphanage, a little bit talking about orphanage. You know, Hope Orphanage is a small. Why we start the orphanage? Because my vision to not take caring people, but you know, just when we start the outside Kathmandu churches, we find out that their church, you know, just in Nepal, they married very young, yes, maybe 16, 17. They are married. And they married, and then what they are doing that, they have a children, 22 years, they have two, three children. And they drink the local homemade, non-good alcohol. And they died. 23 years. And they died the 23 years. And they throw the children outside the street. Nobody take caring them. And one of the, this is I'm saying, and then they throw the there, and then some husband died, wife wants to marry another man, but not allowed to that children to take with her. That's the things. We saw the children in the street, and we love them, and we take care of them. Right now, 25 children we have in our Hope Hostel. Also, some of you are helping for them. Thank you for your help, your prayer. I need your prayer. And I think that's why I'm asking you to take this and prayer for our ministry in Nepal. This is a good thing, you know. Just I want to read a little bit Bible words about our ministry. You know that John 4, everyone knows that. You know, just that's a story. I'm talking to a little bit about John 4. I'm reading 25, 26, 27, 28. Okay? Just, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Listen about that. This is that. This lady, you know, we know the story. She went to bring the water in the daytime, because, you know, people are not goes to the daytime in that area. But she wants to hide some things. She wants to, I'm a good person, she thinking about that. You know, just she went taking the water. And then Jesus met her. And what Jesus talking to? Why Jesus talking to? Jesus needs everybody. Every sinner, Jesus need that. That's why Jesus talking to this lady. Jesus is talking about living water, the Bible. That's the living water. He's talking about that, and that lady is very surprised, and that then he's talking about that thing, and Jesus say, and the woman said that, yes, yes, I hear that Messiah will come. I hear that Messiah will come. I hear about that. He sees, she know that, but she's not actually clear about that. You know, just things. And he will tell us all things. He will tell us when he will come, Messiah will come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Wow. Jesus said that. I'm that person whom I'm talking to. I'm that person. Okay. And then 17. And upon this comes his disciple and marvel that he talk with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talk thou with her? And verse 18, then woman then left her water pot and went her away into the city and said to the man. This is the key. This is the important. You know, just this woman, they hear, they know about Jesus, what he did. This is the important things, you know, just when see her, hear about that, see her about Jesus, see her about Christ. And this, why she came there? To bring the water to her home. But he left that water. I don't need the worldly things. I don't need money. Maybe, you know, just, I don't need big houses. I don't need these things. I have some things that is save us. That is Jesus Christ. That's the Messiah. I know that. That's why he lived everything. You know, he lived his water pot. He lived and he ran away. Think about these things. This lady. Her life. What is most important things? I think he think about that to bring the water to their home. Water need to their children and their people, but she's thinking about that. But when he received Jesus Christ as a Messiah, and then the outside I'm saying they know about him. You know, when I believe in Jesus Christ. Christ, and he will make me the very wealthy person, maybe very prosperous person, maybe very as well known person. They are thinking that's not wrong. But you know, what is lack of the human needs? What is the man? You know, just Acts 3, we can see one lame man they put in the outside of the temple. And John and Peter went to the prayer in the temple. What happened? He asked something. He's the beggar. He asked something with the, and seeing the Peter and John. And what they say that? I don't have a gold and silver, but I have a precious things than gold and silver. He present them to the Jesus Christ. And what happened? Wow. When he received the Jesus Christ, he started to walk. But you know, just that's why, you know, just what is the important things for our life? This lady's life is what is important things. See, that lady, she find out, you know, that she married 5 men. But that is not her husband. But she's dissatisfied. She's not happy with the 5 husband, and still whom he's staying, he's not her husband, but also she's not happy. When he made the Jesus Christ, And then he left everything. He went to preach the gospel. Means she know about good things for our life. She left. She went. Wow. You know, every Christian people need to do that. Every Christian. You know, just I'm saying the people with people, you know, just when I receive Christ. You know, before that, I want to be a very successful person. What is a successful person? What is that success? You know, even right now, in the U.S., one of the name is very famous name, successful person name is Elon Musk. Everyone think that. Everyone wants to be a Elon Musk. I think that he's not happy. He's searching some things. He's a dissatisfied person. But you know, we Christian, we are saved by his blood. We became a children of God. That's why we can pray to God, God Father. Wow, think about that Abba Father, that's ours. When we, this lady find out him, and she find out Jesus Christ as a Savior, and he left his water pump. And went to his place, Samaria, to say about Jesus. Yes, I got Jesus. Yes, I got Jesus. You know, he preached to every people of the Samaria. He said that. What happened? That's the thing about that. You know, just that thing. She said that. And just in the 42, verse 44 to tell us about that. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of the saying for the, we have heard him ourselves and know that this is needed, the Christ, the Savior of the world. You know, just, that's why he, her testimony. People are saved. Samaritan people, they know the Jesus. Wow, think about that. Samaritan people are, you know, just they know about that, but they not hear about Jesus Christ, Messiah. And this type of the people lives in maybe, you know, hotline near our neighbors. They don't know. We need to leave everything. Maybe sometimes I'm saying, you know, who will feed you? Thinking about that. If I'm not work, I'm not going to work, who will feed me? I'm not educate my children, when they will help me? You know, just this is the only thing. That's why Jesus talking about Matthew 6, 25 to 33, he's talking about, don't think about worldly things. But first, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, just people are thinking, if we are not earning money, who gave the tithe? This is our understanding. That's why I'm saying to, you know, our main, okay, we need to work. I'm saying, don't do work. I'm not saying that. You know, if are not working, they are not eating, you know, they are not eating anything. But we need to work. But what is the most important things for our life? This is the important. You know, to lift anything, go to someday. People are thinking about in Nepal also. They are coming to church, you know, just, nothing to do today, that's why I'm going to church. No. First of all, we need to go to church. My main responsible to know him, to read Bible, to worship him, and then we know that who we are in Christ. And then leave everything to preach the gospel. You know, this church main things, you know, that is the main thing. You know, every church need to do that things. Every saved believer need to that thing. Know, grow and go. Only know. And grow, not going, no. If you are knowing him, you are growing. See, same thing she did that. She knowing him, she's growing word of God, and she went to preach the gospel to Samaria. And the Samaritan people saved by her preaching. That's why, please, I'm talking to you. I'm doing this thing in Nepal. No, I don't know. You know, some people are coming to me. There is an anti-conversion law. There is a, and you, your family is doing this thing, this thing. I'm not, you know, just my first responsibility is this. People are going to die without Jesus. There is never hope after this life. If they are not receiving Christ, they will go hell. Not I am talking that. This book is talking that. Without Jesus, they are going to hell. They are perish. But Jesus come not to perish the this world, not to condemn this world, to save the this world. Romans 3:17, taking about that, talking about that. That's why I'm requesting everyone. We are encouraging each other. We need to pray heartline. Heartline need to pray Kathmandu Greater Gates, and we togetherly join hand, pray each other, do the God's work. I'm thinking that, you know, John 3:16, always I'm thinking about that. God so loved the world, not for the American, not for the Israel. They so love the world. That is our God. He saved us to preach the gospel. He saved us not via the president right now in America, November, going to elect a president. No, be a president. You are higher than the president. Amen. We are higher than the president. Someone asking me, come to do the election and you will be the do the. No. I am higher than the prime minister. I am higher than the president. I am God kingdom. I am children of God. That's why we need to preach gospel. Amen.
I still have my spectacles on, so because I was studying. So now I'm going to go to speaking. But man, thank you, Pastor. Appreciate that. And what a good word that was. And be encouraged in the fact that our God is bigger than our country. Amen. He's a God of the world. He's the God of all. And it's neat to know, and it's exciting to know that He is working in a mighty way in a country in the middle of Asia. We're a church in the heart of America with a heart for people, and they are a church in the heart of Asia with a heart for people. And so, literally halfway around the world. And so it's really neat how God has put us together and gotten us partnered together. One of the things I would mention, as you know, here at Heartland right now, we have a lot of fundraising activity. This coming Friday is the homecoming for Life Issues, and we appreciate those that are giving toward that. And then the following week will be our Bible conference, our annual Bible conference. And it'll be kind of like the following week will be the prelude to that Bible conference. So just a couple weeks from now. 2.5 weeks or so, we'll have the Bible conference where we'll be also raising funds. But one of the things I would encourage you as you consider all of these things is we've been trying to help Pastor Rajan with Bibles for several years. We've had commitments. We've even had Bibles printed in nearby where he can, you know, procure them. And for whatever reason, they just evaporate. And so last year we sent, I think, $1,000 to help them, and we thought that we'd get a couple hundred Bibles. It ended up getting about 100, and so they're about $10 a piece. And he can get them, very good Bibles, Texas Receptus-based solid word Bibles that actually emphasize key things like begotten, the only begotten. He was sharing with us this morning in our adult Bible fellowship that in the Nepali Bibles that are printed, other than this particular one that we're talking about, the Trinitarians produce, the word begotten is not in there. So God so loved the world that He gave His Son, but He's not. So they don't know that He's born, and in that culture, in those religious systems, that's important to point out that He's all human, He's all man, and He's all God, because that's how He carried our sin away. So He's very keen on getting this particular Bible, and so if you're ever minded. Luke, I didn't get a chance. I think did I email you about this? But I was going to set up a fund where we can we can give toward that project, and so at any amount. So instead of going to Starbucks, because there's like $10 now for a coffee, you can say, you know, I'm going to skip a coffee and I'm going to buy a Bible. That would be good, a Bible. And if enough of us did that, you know, he's shooting for 400 Bibles is what he's after. So it's $4,000 US. So anyway, that's just a project that we can start working on. I was thinking about that today, and I don't want to stress everybody out. We can do that over time. So just keep that in your heart. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus. We're going to continue our Exodus study, and we're going to finish up what I was talking about last week. If you were here last week, we talked about the Lord's free man and God's care for people and property. I pray that you're encouraged today to receive the Word of God and walk it out as we're getting ready to go to take it to the streets or adopt a street. We do take it to the streets. We're also participating in Adopt a Street. We're going to be here in Exodus chapter 21. And let's look at the text together. And I'll refresh you in Exodus 21 on where we have been. And then we'll get where we need to go. Exodus 21 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve. In the seventh he shall go out free for nothing." Verse 3, "If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him, if his master have given him a wife." So he comes into this situation without a wife, but his master blesses him with a wife, and she has borne him sons or daughters. The wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. So at the end of that seventh year that we talked about last week, he can go free, but he has to leave his wife and his children behind. And if the servant shall plainly say, "I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free," then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. I'm going to pause right there and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this decision that a man must make. As the Lord wrote this, as the Word spoke this to Moses, he was mindful of his people Israel that had been delivered from bondage, delivered from the oppression of slavery. And yet, right off the bat, after the Ten Commandments, he writes an ordinance about slavery and about masters and servants. We have text on that in Ephesians 6 as well. And Lord, there's a benevolent tone here, a master who cares and provides for his servant, a servant who says, "Hey, instead of going free, I love my master. I love my wife. I love my kids," and he stays. Lord, there is a principle here, a part of your character that we see that the world can't see today, especially in the society in which we live. Lord, there's a precept here, like David, as he was on the mountains of Bethlehem, tending to his sheep, meditating upon the Word of God. He saw things about you as he read about your law, and he saw your character shine through. Heavenly Father, we know you're our Father, but Galatians tells us as long as we're a child, we're no different than a servant, that we be Lord of all. And as Pastor Roger was just saying, we are kings and priests, or we really are above, you know, whoever the highest in the land are. We're sons of God. We will reign and rule. But right now, we're your children, and we are crying, "Abba, Father." We want you to teach us your word, and we want to be faithful servants to you this morning. As we hear about the world, as we see the world before us, Lord, our lives are entwined with the gospel going forth literally around the world. Somehow, some way, you have allowed us to be a part of that, a church that is engaged in the Great Commission. It is far above all other callings, and is far more valuable. We take it seriously, and we say we want to serve you. Heavenly Father, may we be stirred up in our pure minds with the Word of God this morning to do that, with the example of our brother, Pastor Rajan, his wife Indu, the ministry there in Greater Grace. Lord, with the Word of God that we have heard, with the woman at the well and her willingness to know you, to grow in her understanding and go back and tell everybody that she's found Jesus. Lord, may we do that today as we go to the streets, and may we be encouraged this morning in faithfulness, Lord, as we continue on what we considered last week, something more important, Lord, than even freedom. is our faithfulness. Lord, I pray, God, a blessing on the reading and the hearing of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at this passage, if you were here last week, great. If you weren't, you need to go back and get the primer. I did gave you a lot to think about last week. I gave kind of the big picture, slavery, how it went in the Old Testament, all that. But the application is this morning. And in light of everything else we heard, I want to challenge you in three primary things. And the first one is this. The Lord's free man has a perfect master. The Lord's free man has a perfect master. We need to be more focused this morning on faithfulness than freedom. And we live in a place where freedom is super important. Our freedom, as a matter of fact, our liberty to move about the planet, to speak freely, is monumental in regard to getting the gospel where it needs to go on time. But the problem is, over time, I'm not talking about the world. You can't expect lost people to do saved things, but you can't expect saved people to be what God called us to be and do what God called us to do, right? Which is preach the gospel. That's why we're here, is to be faithful. God has given us a window in time for the last couple hundred years in this particular country so we can take the gospel where it needs to go on time, right? We got to get it done because we're on a clock. And so we got to serve our master from the dawn to the setting sun, right? That's really why we're here, is to be faithful servants, because we are his children. If you look in Ephesians 6 sometime, you can see it goes children, servants, masters, in that order. Right? Children are like servants, as Galatians 4 says, while they're young, because we're still under the tutelage of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as we consider this morning, we have a perfect master. He's our Father in heaven. And we are free, but as you consider the text that we've read, the perfect master is not what we find. He's the one who found us. You know, the perfect master found us. The scripture is very clear. None seeketh after God. I wasn't a seeker-sensitive Christian. This isn't a seeker-sensitive service. What we need is to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost because we're saved. But when we're lost, you know what? It's about conviction. It's about knowing that man, we are so far away. Romans 3 says this in verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. You know, there's a time in my life when I thought I was seeking after God. And of course, the conviction of the Spirit does cause us to do that. But they are all gone out of the way. They are to get altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Lost. Many years ago, I remember a preacher preaching that message. Lost. He had lost all day long. And it just resonates in my mind. Lost. People are lost. Right? And they're going to be lost until someone finds them. The perfect master, he didn't just find me. And he didn't just find you if you're saved, but he bought you and he bought me. You can imagine that, being so down on your luck that you got to put yourself into slavery. And you don't have a nickel, you don't have two nickels to rub together. I mean, it's not going to take some of us very long to figure that out, right? We know what it's like to be in bondage to debt. And that's what these laws are about, is dealing with debt. And so you're in a situation where you got to give up your liberty so that you can have a security. In a place to live and food in your mouth for a season of time so you can actually live. And then, of course, you know, at the seventh year, you'll go free. And we talked about all that last week. So this is where we are. And we have a perfect master who bought us. You know, when you think about that, how he loved us, how he loved me. He bought me when I wasn't worth buying. Romans 5 says this in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You're not going to entertain your way into heaven. I'm telling you that right now. What's going to draw us is understanding that when we were without hope, when we were without Christ, it was the God of the universe that come after us. That he's the one who left the third heaven. He is the one that came down here and was born of a virgin. He is the one who lived a sinless life. He is the one who has now given us his word and it sends it forth, encourages us and tells us and commands us to go with it. But he is the one that died for everybody, for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one yet die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were sinful, before we were even, he didn't come because we were valuable. He is what makes us valuable. He didn't ask me to pull myself up by the bootstraps. He didn't have me do penance. He didn't have me get baptized. He didn't say, do these good works, Brian, and you will be valuable. He says, no, Brian, when you finally understand there's nothing you can do, when you are a sinner, when there's no, you don't have anything to offer me. I don't need you. But I do want you. That's where we. That's when the Master finds us. Not because we can do good work for Him. Not because we're valuable. It's because we're not valuable. And He loved us anyway. When we were without strength. He is holy and we are not. He doesn't need us in the house, but He brought us anyway. He cleaned us up and brought us in. In the Old Testament, God had named a man. Named Hosea, purchased his wife. Hosea purchased his wife back after she had played the harlot and been exchanged so many times. After being in the adulterous world of harlotry, she was married to him. She was of no value. And when she was of no value, guess what God had Hosea do? That's when He purchased her back. He could have stoned her under the law if it wasn't for God, technically. Yet instead, He bestowed value upon her by purchasing her and taking her back as His wife, as commanded. And when you read that story, it says in Hosea 3 and verse 2, "So I bought her for me for 15 pieces of silver, for an homer of barley and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days, thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee." Man, what a heart. And God has purchased our sin. He has covered it under the blood. And He says, "Come to me. Come. I have purchased your pardon." What a divine master we have. You and I, if you're born again, are bought with a price. Not because we're valuable, because Jesus Christ is, here's the word, remember? Faithful. What's more important than our freedom? Well, faithfulness. Because Jesus Christ, you know the story, right? He was the God, and He is the God of the universe, and yet He made Himself a little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death. Why? Why did He allow Himself, His freedom to be taken? Not just to mention He was cruelly treated and beaten and all of those other things, and then pinned to a tree. Why? Why did He limit His freedom? We know why He limited His freedom, because He was purchasing us faithfully. He was saying, this is what it is to be faithful. Watch this. I'm going to obey the Father. Father, I'd rather not do this, but not my will, but thine be done. I'm tempted, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And He goes and dies on the cross for us, for we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, Bible says. When you realize, and I realize that I've been bought, it's like, whoa, it's time to get out there and give God everything we got. Not because we're valuable, but because He's made us valuable. Every person in here that's born again, you are valuable. You say, well, you just said we're not. No, we wouldn't be in our sinful state. But because of Jesus Christ, you are valuable. You're intrinsically valuable. That's why humanity is valuable. Because Jesus Christ has already died on the cross and He is moving our hearts. As Pastor Rodney says, if we don't get this message there, they're going to die and go to hell. It's a real thing. Can you imagine when we wake up and actually grasp hold of how real hell is? You say, yeah, well, I'm saved. I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about someone else's. What about the people we know, that we love, that we care about, that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and they die and they spend eternity in hell? We know what the Bible says in Luke 16. They're going to want us to preach the gospel more than anybody. You have a whole slew of people. I have a whole slew of people today in hell charging us, screaming out to us, go out to Harrisonville, adopt the street, and tell my family members about the gospel, because I rejected it. I didn't understand. I rejected the gospel, whatever the case. And it's a real deal, man. 1 Peter 1:18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with the corruptible things of silver and gold with your vain conversation, received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot." He didn't just purchase us with, 15 pieces of silver and some barley. And He made us valuable by giving us the most valuable thing He has, and that's Himself. The third thing you see there is the Master provides for me, and He provides for you. Why in the world would I not want to yield my liberty to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would I not want to give my liberty to Christ? He is a good master who found me. He bought me and he has provided for me mightily. Ephesians 1 tells us in verse 3, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Right? He has given us not some blessings, but all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, we're not always satisfied with that because our focus is not on spiritual things. It's on carnal things, as Pastor Roger was challenging us to make sure we're focused on things above. We get focused on the carnality of this world, and that's the fleshly things, like in Espanol, it's carne. So the fleshly things, we get all caught up in the flesh instead of focusing on the Spirit. But man, that's where it's at. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We cannot fully reconcile all the eternal riches we find in Christ. And the bondservant could not have gone free and walked away from all his responsibilities. He could have, walked away and been free of all his responsibilities. But he had to think twice about it. He didn't want to go free because the master had provided him things that he could not have provided for himself. He could not have provided a wife because he didn't have one. If he had one, he came in with her, went out with her. We already saw that. But he didn't have a wife and he didn't have children, but the master provided him that. And he had a decision to make. Am I going to walk away from that for my freedom, my liberty, or am I going to stay and invest? The good master, he provides food. He provided fulfillment. And this guy that wasn't worth nothing, man, this guy says, I'll take you in. You can't even pay, so 6 years, you're mine. But he doesn't put him in the corner, didn't put him in a doghouse, didn't put him in a kennel. He gives him a place to live. He gives him 3 squares a day. He says, you know, you've been a good servant. I'm going to give you a wife. Comes home one day, there's a beautiful wife. He's like, wow. They love each other. They have children. More than that, as you get into the text, you can see that God knew in advance there are going to be men that treat their servants so well that the servants go, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve all this. I mean, I came in here with nothing and I'm not just getting a place to stay in 3 squares like prison, right? I'm getting a lot more. I'm getting a wife. I'm getting kids. I mean, you're meeting my deeper needs. You're fulfilling the needs of my soul. And man, I mean, you're giving me things that multiply. And I just, man, what a good master. I love my master. The text says, I love my master. You're giving me a marriage, a ministry, a vocation. And the good master provides, man, he gave me my family, my wife, my kids. And, you know, I'm going to have grandkids someday. When I get out, I could go buy a parcel of land, but I want to take them with me. And so he's got a decision to make. The Lord's free man has a perfect master. He not only found me and bought me and provided for me, he also loved me. And that is a powerful motivation. I think about this story. It's not a story. It's just this text. Even in my own life. Do you know, just personally, devotionally, and practically, literally, like Amy and I did not have children. And we decided we're going to go with the Lord. And man, God provided us with children. I mean, it's like, man, thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Why would I go free and do what I want to do? Right? And chase that retirement plan, that whatever, you know, status, the house, the car, the vacation, the retirement portfolio, whatever it is, status. Why when you could submit to the Lord and he will provide all that you need? He's a perfect master. And the Lord's free man has a powerful motivation. The faithful servant has a sincere love. He loves his master. And this is based on the thanksgiving and of the love showed by God. In Luke 17, in verse 11, the Bible says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus. And this is what they said, Master. Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So they believed his word. They went by faith, and as they went, they were cleansed. And it says in verse 15, and it came to pass, or verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, an outcast of society on top of being an outcast with leprosy. And it says, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And we have a good master. He is a faithful master, makes us a faithful servant. This leper realized, man, he's cleansed me. I got to go back and thank him for what he has given me, which is wholeness. And God says, oh, your faith has made you whole because you believe my word. Go thy way. You're free. You're free. This leper had a powerful motivation. He had an attitude of gratitude. Have you gotten over your salvation? Don't raise your hand, but how many could say, I've gotten over my salvation? You remember that zeal that you had when you were saved, that epiphany of knowing, man, I am forgiven. I am free. There is no more. You can't. It doesn't matter. It's not going to stick. You know, you're the Teflon Don now. I mean, you are born again. You're free. But after a while, it was like, yeah, I'm saved. Done that. Bought the t-shirt. Here's my saved t-shirt. Christian artwork, you know, whatever. Man, don't get over your salvation. 1 John 4 says this, we love him. Why? Well, because he first loved us. If we're getting over our salvation, it's because we have forgotten what it cost him to purchase us. And not only that, if we can't go with that, then we have forgotten what it cost him to purchase our neighbor. When we were without strength, he died for us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, well, he's a liar. Oh, I love God, but man, I hate Joe. I hate Jack. Hope not. No, there's a Joe in the house. Sorry, Joe. Is there any Jacks in the house? Any Jacks in the box? I don't know. Anyway, so, yeah. So whoever. But you can't say, I love God and I hate Jack in the box over here, right? No, you don't. If you love God, you love your brother. Or you're a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment we have found in him, that he that loveth God love his brother also. So let's be faithful servants. Because the faithful servant has a secure love. This is a secure love. The faithful servant chooses the security of God's love over the world. He's like, man, I could go free and out here and just do my thing and being a good American and pull myself up by the bootstraps and do what I do, or I can just submit myself to the Lord. Man, I tell you what, that's the most secure love you're going to ever have. But love, you think the world loves you? You're going to get that at the bar? You're going to get that off of whatever app? I don't even know the apps, but whatever. Is it Tinder? Toodle-doo, whatever? You're not going to get it off of that. You're not going to get what you need out here in the world. You're only going to get it through the secure love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church right now has everything that the world is looking for. And you say, wait, I'm going to give up on all this other stuff. I'm going to go all in for God. Listen, you'll find your wife. You'll find your kids. You'll find your fulfillment. You'll find the freedom that you're looking for. And it's found in Christ, the good master. As a child, I cannot tell you how many times I heard the song Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places by Johnny Lee. I'm telling you, I heard it over and over. Like I can sing it in my head right now. God forbid. I'm sorry. You're going to go to lunch. Looking for love. Anyway. All of you guys are, and then half of you are like, who? Jet? What? I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway. A lot of people looking for love in all the wrong places. And the security of love that we need is in Christ. We need no other. We don't need any other love. Song of Solomon 2:16 and 6:3 says the same thing. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. And he's mine. He's yours. I want my master to be my servant. Or I mean my servant. I want my master to be, I want to be completely given to him in service. That's what I'm trying to say. I want him to be mine. Romans 8 says this in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And many of you know this verse, but think about it. Who's going to separate you from that love? That's security. Nobody. No tribulation. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Not even death. Not persecution. Nothing. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, that scares us. But the point is it doesn't matter. Take my life. Guess what? It just gets me a ticket to heaven. Hallelujah to you. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And somehow I know, as that is, for me, warms the cockles of my heart, that is offensive to many people in this world. They're like, what? You are more committed to your master than you are to our program. Yes. I am not worried about your program. I am worried about God's program. He is my master. I'm telling you guys, if you really want to be free, the thing you got to do is get under the master, the good master who loves you and keeps you, provides for you, gives you security. So not even death itself shakes you. You're like, well, okay. A few years ago, you know, the healthcare thing, been about a decade ago now. Mom's like, well, man, I'm on a health share, so don't worry about it. She's like, man, premiums were going up and all this stuff, and I was trying to figure out, and I was like, Mom, you know, I don't think your parents had health care. Relax. I know you may be watching, Mom. You may not remember that conversation, but I do. And it was like, she's like, well, Brian, you really need to make sure you get a policy and this, that, and the other, and she's worried about it. I'm like, oh, I'm taking care of it, but hey, Mom, even if I don't have health care, we'll be okay. Even if we die. There's been a lot of times in history where people didn't have health care packages. So let's not get all freaked out and scared to death like, the sky's falling. A lot of us live in fear. Now, I get that. And now, by the way, it's nice to have a health care package, and I hope everyone has one. I'm not saying you shouldn't. So, but what I'm saying is that we can't live in fear when you have a good master. Man, he just takes care of things and he gives you peace even when it doesn't seem like you should have peace. And why would you run with the devil when all he will do is exalt you in pride and destroy you when he's done? This world and the flesh and the devil, it doesn't love you. The world doesn't even know what love is. I mean, they sing songs. I want to know what love is. I want someone to show me. Well, I got him right here. He's the good master, man. He's a good master and he loves you. There's some wives and some children that you know what they need, men? They need to see a secure love. They need to see a husband or a father that says, you know what? Your love's secure because I'm secured. My master is the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to bring security to your family? That's how you do it. Is you let them know that you're anchored by the Master in heaven, the Father in heaven. They need to know you're not running off from the good Master. That you're not going to leave them behind as you go after your liberty. Down with the boys at the bar or whatever you want to do. There are some husbands and some children that need to know that they're wives. It's not just the men. Man, there's some of you ladies, you need to pull it back a little bit. And recognize, listen, your husband's never going to satisfy you 100%. Only man that's going to do that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Reel that thing back. Shopping spree's not going to cure everything. Right? Get right with God so there's some security in the relationships. Don't run from the good master. There's nothing more destabilizing than that. There's some parents and grandparents praying for their children and grandchildren that they would quit running, quit destabilizing, running with the devil, and return home to the house of God where there's a solid foundation in Christ. There's someone who's going to provide, protect, and give you everything that you need. You know, the faithful servant, man, it's not just a secure love, it's a stated love. I love that. In chapter 21, verse 5, it says, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. It doesn't, notice it doesn't, what it doesn't say. If the servant shall think in his heart. This thing is confessed with his mouth. He's like, I love my master. I love my... Hey, when's the last time you told your wife you love her? I love you, Amy. I mean, I just... And your kids. It is important to show them. I grew up in a house where we didn't just say I love you all over the place. But I didn't know my parents loved me because they showed it. But man, it's important that it's a stated love, isn't it? It does say, confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. He's the man. I love my master, my wife, my children. I don't want to go out free. You know, Psalms 102 or 107:2 says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You want to go out and have success going out and adopt a street? You know what people really need to hear is your testimony. They just need to hear how you came to this place that you are so all in that you're knocking on someone's door when you don't even like people knocking on your door. And you're out here trying to tell somebody that, well, God loves me and I know he loves you. And I just want to make sure that you know the same love that I know because he's a good master. He's provided my security. He's provided all of these things. And he is, it's so much so I just need to state it out loud that he loves you as much as he loves me. We need to proclaim our relationship with the Lord. When you love someone, everyone knows it. Is that your testimony? Do people know you love your wife and your kids because you tell people? Well, they should know you love the Lord. Can people see that your family is under the influence of the Master? He's produced love in your relationships. We got this weird focus on leadership in America. It's top down, it's authoritative oftentimes, type A, you know, whatever. But the Bible gives us everything. And by the way, Jesus is the Alpha. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's in everything in between, the beginning and the end, first and the last. And yet, he loves us. And he gave up his freedom and showed us what it looks like to be faithful so that we could come to knowledge of him through faith in Christ. It's his faithfulness, not ours, that God has saved. It's our putting our faith in his faith. It's amazing. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, man, there is no shame. You know, the Bible even says that. Romans 1, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our love for God should be public. You and I, man, we need to get that relationship out there. This servant, he wanted people to know that he loved his master. It was a public proclamation. He had a perfect master. He had this powerful motivation called love. And the last thing I want you to see, and I'll be done, is that the Lord's free man has a permanent mark. And that's what we see in verse 6, right? He bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Now, this wasn't some little sissy, earring prick, you know. This dude's going for gauges. I mean, this is permanent. You're going to know it. And so the permanent mark, it's a public testimony. The servant has made up his mind that he will take his ear and put it on the doorpost or the door of the master's home and allow his master to bore a hole in his ear with an awl that will not grow back. And it says to everybody, this guy loves his master. This guy loves his wife. This guy loves his children. Because he's given up his liberty for all of them. And his life is now dedicated to them ahead of himself. You know, we got that Christian thing. I'm second. That's always bothered me. I like it. Actually, I like it, what they do with the little testimonies and everything. But I've always been troubled by I'm second. Because I was like, well, really, I'm not second. I'm like, God, my, you know, family, and all these other. I'm like, we should have a new one. It's called I'm last. I'm last. I mean, the Bible tells us the first shall be last and the last shall be first. I mean, let's just get biblical if we're going to go there. But whatever. I'm still, shout out to I'm second people. Maybe they get second place and they're last. I don't know. But anyway, I'm last. I'm last. I'm not even second. You may say, Brian, I'm not a servant. Theologically, discipleship lessons number one and two. I'm a son of God. Don't be calling me no servant. And I will tell you what I've already stated, just for the record. First of all, I agree with you. You are a son. I'm not going to argue that. But I will remind you what Galatians 4 says. Now I say that the heir, meaning you inherit all these things, and you do, king and priest. You are an ambassador. You're a lot of things, by the way. Your identity is pretty rich. As long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But you're under governors and tutors until the time appointed of the Father. Listen, the time for us to get all big and bad about ourselves is not now. And really, we'll never get big and bad about ourselves because we're married to Christ. But the point is simply this. The time to exert authority is Revelation 19, and that time has not come. Right now, we are ambassadors. We are peacemakers. We are servants. And we submit to the Master. And we take the message wherever He tells us to go. And it is in terms of peace. And we want other people to have the same peace that we do. You and I are sons. But while we are living in this world, we need to be behaving as a servant. People should know who owns us. And you know this verse, and I know it too, but let me hear it again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Paul says, a man who had given up his liberty, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You see what's at stake? Did you see it there? You might have missed it, because I've missed it. I've read this a million times. You notice what it said there at the end of verse 2? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what's at risk is if we don't serve Him, our minds will not be renewed. You got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we do that? By being servants, submitting to the Master. But you know what happens when we don't? Our minds are corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And you have a lot of Christians running around in carnality, not knowing who their Master is, serving the devil. And we become a mockery, just like Hosea's wife, as we commit spiritual adultery on our perfect husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the permanent mark, I'm telling you, it's painful. The faithful servant who goes public with his love for the Master, he's going to experience some pain. Not everybody's going to understand it. Why would you do that? You don't have to do that. You could go free. You could do what you want to do. Why would you do that? Why do you got to be at church on Sunday? Why do you got to be at church on Wednesday? Why do you always got to go take mission trips? Why do you always got to give a tithe? Why do you got to do this? Why are you so committed to that religious system? And I'm not. I'm committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a stinking relationship. It's not some sort of religious experience. It is a relationship with the living God, and it takes everything. And I want to give everything. I don't have enough to give. I'm begging $10 a pop to get Bibles in India or in Nepal. Come on, you hear what I'm saying? There's just not enough. Lord, give us more resources, Master, so we can serve you more. Because we know the outcome is so much more glorious than anything on this earth. Why in the world would I say, no, chuck it all. Get in my car, drive out of the parking lot and never look back and say, I just want to go live in the world. Why? Might as well put a gun to my head and shoot myself. That's a retarded thing to think about. I can't say that anymore. It's a stupid thing to think about. I'm not trying to be funny. That was just me. But anyway, I need to be done because I'm out of time. But Paul said this. He says, thou therefore, my son, if you want to be a son, and you are, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness. It's going to be hard. Do it as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. For no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Well, we need some soldiers. One of my favorite passages in the scriptures back there with Melchizedek and Abraham and that military endeavor where 300 trained servants went out, had a really miraculous military engagement. It's not even hardly mentioned in the Bible. It's just like a footnote. No big deal. It's a big deal. But what was going on is there was a love relationship with a master named Abraham. He took good care of those boys, and they became like his sons. And he had no sons. Pretty powerful. Those servants fought like sons. Beloved, that's the kind of relationship we should have with the Lord. We are his sons, but we should serve like slaves. The opposite. The permanent mark does not compare to the riches, and that means any hardship that endures, we just endure it. Because we're soldiers. The permanent mark does not compare to the riches found in the relationship with Christ. In Romans 8:18 it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." By faith, right? We know the character of the good master. And we can believe that whatever he has in store for us is far better than anything we endure in this life. Any pain we suffer. Even though he may put my ear up against the door and put a big hole in it, you know, and it's, I know on the other side of that, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. One glimpse of that dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till you see Christ. Come to the perfect master. The perfect master, the powerful motivation, the permanent mark. Remember Jacob? He had to get his leg put out of joint and he limped the rest of his life. Remembering that he had a perfect master. And then God blessed his seed. And it is the very nation that's getting this law that we're talking about. Men, if you're looking for a wife, hey, listen, look for one that has an identifying mark. Young ladies, looking for a husband? You better not be looking for a wife. If you're looking for a husband, you know what? You need to look for someone with an identifying mark. Right? This is not the Old Testament, and this is New Testament. You know I'm not talking about a physical earring. But man, you should be looking for someone that when you see their life, the fact that their soul is sealed with the Holy Spirit that nobody else can see on the inside is evident on the outside. And you should see that. That's the person you want to yoke up with. That's the one your master has for you. Do not settle for anything less. If they're more concerned about being free than they are about being faithful, then you've got the wrong one. And if we're more concerned about being free than we are about being faithful, then we've gone the wrong direction. This church is looking for faithful men and women, not free men and women. And that's a hard thing to say in the United States of America. But I'm not talking about I'm not talking about serving the world. I'm talking about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. I'd ask that you stand.